Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can just sing out hallelujah to you, that we can sing out even with unholy eyes, even in our darkness, in our sin, in all that we are that we know is opposite of what you would like us to be, that you still give us this opportunity just to come before you, to sing songs of praise and worship, that you give us this opportunity to be reunited with you. And so we thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity that we have just to praise and worship you, just to sing out songs, and again, just to love upon you in this place. So would you continue to be with us through this message? Would you continue to be with us as we continue our worship service? Just allow us just to continue to focus our eyes, focus our hearts on you, and just see what it is that you have in store for us. So again, we just thank you, we praise you, we love you, and do all these things in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. So we're going to be continuing our series here in 2 Corinthians. So if you want, if you can go ahead and turn or open your devices, wherever you kind of guys are. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's going to be verses 11 through 21. And so while you guys are getting there, let me kind of open up with a story here. It's a little bit more on the somber side, but again, it fits very well to kind of what's happening here in the scripture and very much as to what's happening and then kind of how God is teaching me even at this point as well. So I was working one evening, and a cop came into the store in this case. And he kind of came up, and we were kind of like, I don't really know what's happening. But he was like, hey, I need to see, you know, the man. I need to see who's in charge, basically. And I was like, okay, well, let me get my manager. So I called him over, and my manager walked over, and he's like, hey, like, what can I do for you? I was like, hey, do you mind if I get your name? And my manager, I talked to him later, he was kind of like, yeah, I didn't know what was going on. So I was like, I kind of gave like a litmus test. I was like, well, I have like a nickname that I go by, but do you need my legal name? And the officer was like, yeah, I need your full legal name. And so he was like, okay, like, this is serious. Like, this isn't just like I'm coming to visit kind of a thing. Like, this is a big deal. And so he told him his full legal name, kind of went through all the details and information that he needed to go through. And afterwards, the cop showed us a picture, and he was like, hey, have you seen this girl? And I was like, I know her. I recognize her because she comes in here often. She's a regular, maybe like every other day, every day, just kind of depends. But I was like, I haven't seen her tonight. My manager was like, actually, yeah, I remember. She came in here a few hours ago. So I was like, I remember seeing her tonight. And the officer was like, yeah, you're not going to see her anymore. And long story short of it, we kind of came to the conclusion that, like, she had been involved in an auto accident, basically, and she did not make it through this auto accident. And it just kind of was shocking to kind of think about that, like, we were actually the last people to see her alive. Like, she came into our store, and then 5 minutes from leaving our store, she basically was involved in an accident that took her life. And it was just kind of humbling and just kind of shocking in a sense to think about this, that again, I didn't see her. I wasn't the last person to, my manager was, but we were the last people to have encountered her. We were the last people to have been able to speak to her, to have seen her move before she left this earth. And again, I talk about this. I don't mean to bring you guys down. I don't mean to make this a sad story or anything, but I talk about this because in this story, in this passage that we look at here that Paul brings us to, he talks about an urgency. He talks about this gospel of reconciliation. And again, as I was studying and as I was going through this, this happened to me in real life. And it kind of just, again, put all this into perspective for me. That there's an urgency to share the gospel, that there's an urgency to reconcile ourselves with Christ, to reconcile ourselves with God. And so as we dig into the scripture, as we kind of dig into this, again, I urge you in this case, just even from the get-go, just to see that this is not just another passage that we look at, that this is not just another part of scripture that we kind of read and learn through, that this is something that hopefully we take forth and apply today, that we go forth and begin to share even, again, just after this day. And so, again, just to kind of recap and give you guys a little bit of where we've been going, if you remember, again, we've been continuing through 2 Corinthians. We've been going passage by passage, verse by verse. And so kind of the last couple of things that have been happening so far. In chapter 4, at the very beginning, we looked at the glory of the gospel. We looked at how wondrous it was, how much better, in a sense, than it was than the Old Covenant, than the Old Testament. Again, it's not the Old Testament was bad, but that the New Testament was better, essentially. And then in the middle of that chapter, Paul talked about how that gospel that carries us through, it's what allows us to persevere. It's this gospel that allows us to endure trials and tribulations. And then the last part of chapter 4, he talked about how we see by faith, not by sight. That it's not what we have on this earth. It's not, again, the sufferings that we endure, but it's our faith in Christ that leads us. And then finally, what we talked about last time was in the beginning of chapter 5, where Paul told us of our future home. That again, talking about this urgency that we have, that we are here on this place. We are here in this room. We are here in this building temporarily. And ultimately, our home is with Christ. Our home is with Jesus in heaven. So as we continue through this, we look at finishing the rest of chapter 5 today, and we go through two main points that I feel Paul drives us to. The first one is he leads us towards his motives for everything that he's been doing. He talks about why he feels that there's a sense of urgency. He talks about why he feels like there's such a demand and such a need for us to share the gospel. And the second part of it, he talks about the gospel of reconciliation itself. He talks about what that means and how do we share this gospel of reconciliation. And so before we kind of dig in, let me go and read through the entire part of the passage, and then I'll break it up into smaller sections so that we can kind of dig into it a little bit more here. So this is the first part here. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others, but what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearances and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one who has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So we have quite a bit of scripture that we're going through today, quite a bit of what Paul is bringing us to here. And so, again, the first part we're going to look at is what Paul is saying is his motives. Why has he been talking about all this? Why has he been driving home this point of the new covenant, the new gospel, the gospel of Christ? Why is this so important? And he starts off by saying, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord. And that first phrasing there is very much Old Testament heavy. It's something you don't see very often in the New Testament. It's very much driven from a history of the Old Testament. And in trying to describe what the fear of the Lord is, let me start by telling you what it's not. It's not what it literally kind of sounds like. It's not being terrified of God. It's not being afraid of God. In fact, that's probably the opposite of what you should have. It's the opposite of where you should be driven to. What it is saying is we fear the judgment of God upon sin. We fear the effects of sin, because we know God is judging sin. We know that God hates sin. And so we fear the effects of sin upon our lives and upon the lives of those around us. We are in reverence. We are in awe. We worship and adore God. And because of the sin and the effect that it has on us, we fear this judgment, again, upon us and also probably more importantly on the others that are around us. So again, you can think of this as kind of like when we're kids, or maybe some of you guys are still going through this, but when you have your parents and they set forth rules and regulations, and they tell you how they want you to go about your day. Like, if you betray those things, if you go against your parents' will, they punish you for that, right? They judge you for the things that you've done wrong. And again, that's kind of an idea of what Paul is talking about here. It's we obey the rules of God because he knows what's better for us. We obey the rules of God, hoping that in obeying these things, he drives us more closer to him, that he drives us to better understand him, that he drives us to better worship him. So Paul tells the Corinth church that his motivations here are not only known to him, but they're known to God. And he hopes that it's known more importantly to them, that they understand his motivations here are for God, that it is through God and with God that he moves this way, that he understands that it's in fear of the Lord that he continues about, that he is in fear of the judgment that comes upon them and upon others, that he moves forward, that he continues to preach the gospel. The other reason that he gives here is in verse 12 and 13. And he talks about commending ourselves, that it's not about boasting, that it's not about bragging, that he's not here because he wants to make himself look better. In fact, it's the opposite of that. He wants the Corinth church to take pride in the actions that he's doing. He wants the Corinth church to recognize the work that he's doing, that when he continues to proclaim the gospel, even when things are not always the best situations, that when he continues to say things and do things in ways that glorify Christ, that the Corinth church can see his actions and not only see them and be able to boast about them, but hopefully the goal here is what Paul is saying, is that you would also copy them. That again, that it's not about just the outward appearance, but it's also about the inward appearance. And again, when he talks about doing things that are crazy, that's what he says in verse 13 here, that if we are beside ourselves, kind of meaning like if we're out of your mind is probably how we would phrase that. If we're out of our mind, it's because we are doing things for God. And that's kind of what drove Paul, if you look at his life. When he was stoned and dragged out of a town, he would re-enter the same town and proclaim the same gospel that got him thrown out and stoned. Like no sane person would do that. When he would encounter a mob looking to kill him, when he would encounter people who said, "We don't want you here," and he still proclaims his love for them and Christ's love for them, that's not something a sane person would do. And we look at the same thing happening today, probably in the most recent events, and it's still recent, as crazy as it sounds, but Hurricane Harvey. You look at all the people who were affected by it, and one of the biggest groups to go forth and help people were the churches. People gathered by the thousands to go forth and help people that they had no connection to whatsoever. Even this last summer, I know groups who have come down from across the nation, Christian organizations, to come down to help people rebuild, to help people plant again, and to help people get back into their homes that they were lost because of a storm that happened a year ago. Again, this is not something normal people do. Normal people don't give up their day. Normal people don't go out and get the sweat on their back because they just feel like it. This is not in your right mind, but it's not in your right mind because you don't see through the eyes of God. And so what Paul brings us to in the last part of this and his motivations for this is that it's Christ's death that saves us from judgment. Christ's death that saves us from judgment is what motivates him to go forward. So again, in looking at it, you see that he's motivated because he knows that judgment is coming, that he fears the Lord, and that he's motivated by his example to be like, he's motivated to be the example for the Corinth church. And then finally, in this last section, he talks about that when Christ comes, Christ will save you from the judgment. Christ will save you from being afraid of God, afraid of God's judgment. And so what he talks about here in 14 and 15 is that the love of Christ is what controls us, that when you are taken over by Christ, that you have no result other than to conclude, to move forward in the way that he has moved forward for you. And that Christ here has died for all, that his salvation is not just for some of the people, but it's for all of the people. So again, there's nobody that you can talk to that is beyond the reach of the gospel, that is beyond the reach of Christ. So Paul says that, again, this is his motivation as to why he's been doing everything that he's been doing. It's because of Christ. It's because of what he's done and trying to set the example of how he can be more for what the Corinth church should be like, how he can be more for what Christ wants him to be like. And so we talk about Paul's motivation. We see, finally, what he's being motivated to. How he's being motivated to this ministry of reconciliation here. And so in verse 16 and 17, Paul talks about how there's an evaluation that comes from the inside, how there's a change here that comes from the inside. So he says here, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh." And whenever you hear this term, flesh, it's always, it's in most cases applied to things that are opposite of God. So like when you hear in the New Testament that you desire the fleshly things of this world. Again, it's talking about you desire the things that God doesn't want you to desire. That you look at things in a way that God doesn't want you to look at is what Paul is saying here. And again, this could be in whatever label that you kind of come up with. When you look at somebody, do you see them as white collar or blue collar? Do you see them as mean or nice? Do you see them in a certain income bracket? Do you see them in a certain ethnicity? Whatever label that you put upon people, that's going to be what Paul is considering, looking at people according to the flesh. And he pushes back on this and even admits that he did this himself. And not only did he do it to other people, he did it to Christ. He saw Christ as just another man on this earth, as another person who was just going forth and doing things. And it wasn't until Christ came into his life and revealed things to him that he realized that he can no longer do these things. He can no longer regard him as somebody who sees through the flesh. And so the beginning part of understanding this ministry, this gospel of reconciliation, is beginning to change how we look at people, beginning to change how we look at those around us, and recognizing that they are not whatever label that you get placed upon, but ultimately that they're all children of God. That God sees all of us, again, equally, that he has saved all of us, not just one of us, but all of us. And so as he continues here in verse 17, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, when we look at this, it's translated somewhat poorly here because, again, our English language is just a little limited in how we can translate these things. When it comes to Greek, a lot of us have often heard that love comes in multiple ways, that in English we just have love, but in Greek there are multiple ways that they translate love. And that's true for other words here, and two of them we'll kind of go through here. So the first one is that second word there, therefore if. If is a word that has multiple meanings in Greek compared to what we have in English. So for us, when we say if, it's if this is true, like maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Like if it rains today, we won't go outside. Like we don't know for certain if it's going to rain. But in Greek, you have three different versions. That one is true as well. There's an if, and we don't know. But there's also an if, and it's true, and another if, and it's false. So probably like good examples of each of those would be, you know, let's go back to the example of our parents in this case. When they say, if you do this, I'm going to punish you. So that's an if, and it's true. If you do this, this is going to happen. And the opposite of that is true as well. You can use those in the negative. So again, both of those exist in the Greek language, and the version that we see here is an if, and it's true. So if anyone is in Christ, that is true. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. So again, so there's no if, and it's are you in Christ or are you not? No, if you are in Christ, and it's true that you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The other word we look at here is new. For us, we have new, which just means new. We don't really have any other definitions towards that. But take, for example, if I have a pen. Actually, the one that I keep with me here is this Pilot. It's kind of my daily driver when it comes to pens. Now, if this pen runs out of ink, which happens rarely, but more often, if I lose this pen, I'm going to go get another one. It will be a new pen for me, but it is not any better than the old pen that I had. It is still just a new pen. But let's say I went and bought a calligraphy pen, or I went and bought a fountain pen. This is a greater pen. This is a newer, better pen than what I had previously. And that's the new that Paul talks about here, that you are a new creation. You are not just new temporally. You are new and improved. You are the 2.0 version of yourself, essentially. So that's what Paul talks about here, that if you are in Christ and you are in Christ, then you are created new. You are created better than your old version. What he talks about, the old has passed away, the old you is gone, and the new one has come. So again, this is what Paul is talking about, this ministry of reconciliation. When you reconcile to God, when you reconcile yourself to Christ, the old one of you passes away and the new one comes forth. And that's when you begin to actually pursue the ministry of reconciliation. And that's what he drives home here in this next section here. In 18 and 19, it says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So again, in 18 here, we talk about this new and better version of ourselves, and that God has reconciled himself to us. And to kind of define this word here, because we're going to see it a lot in these next couple of verses, to reconcile means to settle, to make things fair, to make things even again. So again, to make things even would mean that something has to be traded, that if something has been done, if something is bartered, if I go to a store and buy something, I have to pay money, and then they give me said product. That's reconciliation. I pay this much, you give me said product. So in our situation here, we have sinned against God. We have committed a crime against God. And somehow we are reconciled to him. We are reconciled to God. We are made fair, and that's because of the work that Christ has done on the cross. So again, he explains that here in verse 19. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. That again, when you are made new in Christ, your trespasses, your sins, your wrongdoings are not counted against you. And this goes back to what he first started with, that that's why we don't fear God. We don't fear his judgment because you have been made new. You have been made in a way that you don't have your trespasses, you don't have your sins counted against you because Christ has taken them on himself. So as he continues here, and he continues through into 20 and 21, he finally concludes with what we're actually supposed to do, what it actually means for us to literally go out and do the gospel of reconciliation. And he says, therefore, we are ambassadors for God. God making his appeal through us. So again, when we look at ambassadors, again, probably the easiest one to recognize is American ambassadors, because that's where we're from. We're from America. So when you have an American ambassador, he does not stay in America. He goes to another country. If he were to stay in America, he would not be an American ambassador. He would just be an American citizen. But an American ambassador goes to another country, to China, to Hong Kong, to Russia, to Germany, to wherever it is that they go to. They send them somewhere to represent America, to speak on behalf of America. And that's what God has told us that we are his ambassadors. We are God's ambassadors living here on this earth temporarily. As we learned last time, we are temporarily living on this earth. And while we are living here, our purpose, our goal is to reconcile ourselves and reconcile others to God. In 21, he finally summarizes this whole idea. This is kind of like the summary verse of this entire section here. That for our sake, God essentially made him, Christ, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. So in other words, through this whole ministry, through this whole idea, through everything that we do, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you are made new, you are made better, and you're given this righteousness that you have no right to have. You are made in a way that God deems you more than just valuable, but deems you worthy of being in his presence, of being able to rejoin with him in heaven. That this is the message of reconciliation that we need to share with those around us. That if they were to accept Christ, if you accept him as your Savior, that you have the same opportunity as well. That God, again, not only saves you, but he saves all of us. And that he is seeking after each and every one of us. So now that we have all the definitions, now that we have all the ideas of what Paul is saying out of this passage, what do we do with this now? Where do we take this from here? What I'll do is I'll break this down into two different groups. So if you're here and it's very early for you, you've never really been in church, you don't really know what this church place is really for, you don't really know who this Jesus Christ person is, and you're just kind of here, I'm grateful that you're here. I thank God that you are able to be here and enjoy this time with us here. And also, if you're in this group where you have been coming to church, but you don't really know why you're coming to church, you've just been kind of coming, you've been kind of playing the church game, as it says. You kind of come in, you go out, you come in, you go out, whatever it may be. Then my goal for you here, my encouragement for you here out of this message is that you would hear the gospel of reconciliation, that you would hear what it is that God has done for you, that you would hear that he is reaching out for you, that he is climbing after you, that he is wanting a deeper and more rich relationship with you, that he wants to spend as much time as he can with you, and that he wants you to slowly grow more and more like Christ, and ultimately more and more to spread his kingdom to others, to do the same thing that we are trying to do for you now. So again, if you are in this group, then I implore you, as it says in the scripture itself, we implore you to reconcile yourself to God. So if you haven't made this decision, if you don't know what this means exactly yet, then come find me afterwards. Come find Pastor Sun afterwards. We'd love to sit down and have a conversation, explain what this means and what it means to reconcile yourself to God, what it means to give your life to Christ. So for everybody else, if you've been in church, if you've been serving, if you've been a leader, if you've been devoted, if you've constantly been a person who's always served inside of the church, what do you do with this now? You go and you be an ambassador. You go forth and you proclaim Christ to the world. And that sounds like a very broad, vague statement. And it kind of is, because that's kind of what he's left us with, is to be God's ambassador. So how I'd encourage you to make this applicable today, how I'd encourage you to take this and make this happen today, is just spend a moment, even now, just think through your life and think through your day-to-day interactions. And who is one person that you can think of that needs to hear the gospel? Who is one person that you can think of who needs to hear what it means to have the gospel of reconciliation? Is it a family member? Is it a coworker? Is it a friend? Who is one person that you can think of that needs to hear this gospel of reconciliation? And once you have this person, remind yourself that God's judgment is coming. It's not, again, it's not an if it's coming. This is if and true. It is coming. And that if you really do care for this person, if you do love this person, that you want to see Christ save them just as he has saved you. And so you see them not as a label. You see them not as something that is gender or ethnicity or race or again, money, income, whatever. You see beyond that and you see them as a child of God and you reach out to them as a child of God. And you tell them that not only has God already extended his invitation to you, he is waiting for you to respond. He's waiting for their RSVP. He is waiting for them to accept his offer so that he can spend eternity with them, that he is yearning for them, that he wants to have this life with them. And so I encourage you to find this person, to start this conversation. And if you have trouble with it, find somebody to hold you accountable to it. And again, this doesn't need to be a full-blown, hey, you need to believe in Christ right away kind of a thing, but at least start this conversation of, hey, do you have a faith? Hey, do you believe in anything? Hey, have you been to church? Can I invite you to my church? See how you can start this conversation. See how you can start planting seeds. See how you can start watering things that maybe somebody else has already started. And see how you can be God's ambassador. See how you can honor Christ in the way that he's asked you to. See how you can continue to love upon those in the same way that God has loved upon you. How can you continue to share his gospel? How can you continue to share his love with those around you? So again, I implore both of you guys in both groups. If you don't know Christ, come to know him because he wants to know you. And if you do know Christ, who is it that you can share this gospel with? Who is it that you can share this opportunity with? You know, as I look into the crowd, I see that there are chairs next to each and every one of you. And you can imagine these chairs being somebody filled with this. You can imagine somebody sitting in that place. You can imagine somebody else coming to know who it is that God has called. So again, I just encourage you to take this opportunity to be bold, to be brave, and just share the gospel with them. To take this opportunity and share what it is that Christ has given to you already. To share your testimony, to share how God has made you better, to share how God has made you new. And in the hopes that, again, hopefully one day that they can see that and they can be made new and they can be reunited and reconciled with God as well. So again, I just encourage you with that and I just hope that one day we can see more people here and hope that one day we can see more and more of our friends join into this group and join into God's family. So let's go ahead and pray and we'll close out from here. Father, we thank you. Again, we praise you and we love you. Again, knowing that each and every day that we have here is just an opportunity that we have to share the gospel with somebody else. And Father, I pray over each and every person here, knowing that that is not always an easy task for us to do. That it is not always easy to go forth and start up a conversation about somebody's faith, to go forth and start up a conversation that doesn't always lead to positive things. It doesn't always lead to positive reactions. And so, Father, I pray over them and even myself that, again, you just allow us to be bold. You allow us to be brave for you. You allow us to proclaim your gospel and to proclaim your spirit that you have given to us. Knowing that, again, whether or not they accept or not isn't anything that we do, but is ultimately what you have done in them already. So, Father, would you make us ambassadors? Would you bring us to you? Would you reconcile us to you if we don't know you? And if we do, again, would you continue to allow us to be brave and to be bold? So we thank you, we love you, praise you, all in your Son's name. Amen.